Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. We've got a good one coming up for you today. Brendan Small. I have Death Clock fame. We'll be our guest in the second hour, so yes. You know. You totally know.
Oh, sorry. Okay, just playing a little Death Clock.
Oh, no, you can keep playing it. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we should play that when he's coming on. That kind of sounds like something you'd play in a wrestling ring when the wrestler's
walking. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. The intro. Yeah. Or these days, it's MMA. I think wrestling and boxing aren't as popular anymore.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Anything goes.
Yeah.
You don't know what that is?
No.
Yeah, you do. You do.
I
do. MMA, mixed martial arts, cage fighting.
It's, yeah. Yes, young men who
beat the crap out of each other
for
a decent reason,
and
I guess.
We're all for it. I don't like watching it, but we're all for it. And why are we all for it?
They choose to. It's their own choice. It's not aggressive in the sense that they're not initiating aggression. They go, they look at each other, they nod to each other, they nod to the referee. It's consensual, like
consensual
violence.
Consensual violence is not aggression. However, the government does everything by aggression, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today, about Obamacare. They're going to care the heck out of you. You know, We're not huge fans of Ronald Reagan's actions, but we're big fans of a lot of things he said. And one of the things he said that we really like was something like the scariest sentence in the English language is, "We're from the government and we're here to help you." And apparently Obamacare is going to help the heck out of you.
Yeah, it's real creepy, and it's great to see a bunch of people jumping on the bash Obamacare bandwagon, including the New York Times, who came out with a three-person article. It was so important to them that they put three reporters on it, Robert Pear, Sharon Lefrenier, and Ian Austin, all tag-teamed the Obamacare website in the new article from the start, Signs of Trouble at Health Portal.
And apparently it takes a village to deconstruct the web that is Obamacare.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's basically what the gist of the article is there's like 50 software contractors. It's so complex, and yet Health and Human Services still says that they have the ultimate say, and they're going to do all of the actual compiling of everything together in-house, even though their fellow government agencies think they lack the technical know-how or ability to do that. Obviously, those other government agencies know something, because apparently people can't even log into the thing. Even one of the New York Times reporters said they spent hours and hours, and for 40, you know, over 40 times, kept trying to log in, and wouldn't work. And eventually it took her away from the page, but it just took her to a blank page. And so this is apparently happening to tons of people. You know, and I don't even know why you would try to do it anyway. I guess what I'm going to do with Obamacare is wait until I know more about it, until the storm clouds die down. And if I have to eat a smaller fee for the first year on my tax burden, I'll just do that, you know?
Well, a lot of people don't know. This is according to my insurance agent, who I called the other day, and she's pretty on it. She's pretty smart. I said, explain Obamacare. We may actually have her come on here to explain Obamacare, because in like five minutes she explained my so-called responsibilities completely, and it was pretty simple. A lot of people don't know this. Things do kick in January 1st, but according to her, you don't have a penalty. You have up until December 31st of next year to buy insurance and not get a tax on your following year's income tax. Now, the thing about the website, I'm wondering if there's some kind of affirmative action involved in this. You know, the Obama administration's been really pushing this, like, girls should learn math and science, and nothing against girls, but I'm wondering if instead of giving this to, you know, competent web programmers, if they let a bunch of, like, you know, middle school kids who were learning web design do it. Because I read, you know, and I really think that the government doesn't want to really encourage girls to do math. I think they want to encourage girls to become voters who are part of the military industrial complex. And if a girl actually, a young girl actually came up with something incredibly brilliant mathematically that didn't serve the government's purpose, they'd crush it and not support it.
They'd Aaron Schwartz her.
Yeah.
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 Or Edward Snowden her. Yeah. So I think you're right. And even if it's not about affirmative action or different voting blocks or minority groups, it is about politics. And that's the fatal flaw, right? That's the poison pill in anything like this. Every government program, because they choose the resources and the resource providers based on politics and a political process rather than on a price-based, market-based process. You know, there's nepotism, there's favoritism, and there's things like the cost plus contracts, you know, just all sorts of situations that aren't set up to get the best product to the public, but are set up to make the most people.
Maybe that's what happened with this website. Was it was a cost plus contract where it goes to basically the highest bidder, or the more it costs the contractor, you know, they make a percentage of whatever it costs. So it behooves them to make it cost as much as possible. Now, Of all the lies I've heard Obama ever tell, and boy, I couldn't even – I would need a Utah-sized data center to make a list of them. But of all the ones I heard a doozy the other day. He was defending this defective website, and he said, hey, you know, I mean, this is how things roll out. You know, the new iPhone came out recently, and it had a problem, and Apple fixed it. And I'm like, first of all, Apple is not the government. They're not pointing a gun to your head making you buy an iPhone. And yeah,
Apple has
all,
more cash on hand than the government.
And second of all, Apple fixed the problem already, and Apple never would have released a product like this. Now, back in the day, Microsoft might have, because they used to – I mean, Steve Ballmer, one of their founders, used to have a joke that nothing from Microsoft works until version 3.0. But, you know, by the time 3.0 of this rolls out, you know, grandma will be dead. We'll all be paying fines anyway. And the U.S. government will have collapsed under its own weight like a dinosaur in the tar pits anyway. I mean, I'm basically – my plan
That's
is –
what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, my plan is to wait until December 31st next year to buy health insurance. Now, I want to say health care and insurance are two different things. And the Obama administration and all of the communists who run the country right now want you to think they're the same thing. Health care and health insurance are independent of each other. But they're doing a trick with words here where they use the word health care to mean insurance. And it's a different thing. I'm just going to wait and hope that between now and December 31st of next year, the government will just collapse Soviet style. And we can all have about 22 years of freedom before some Putin-type person comes in and tries to ruin it. And I'll be old by then.
Hopeful and cynical at the same time. Yeah.
And by then, I'll be wealthy enough from doing talk radio that my wife and I will be doing this. Nima's wife and his kid and my wife and I will have gone on Virgin Galactic to Mars and be doing the show from there.
So you're going to apply for the next batch of Mars colonists?
Yeah.
You missed the deadline for the first one already.
Oh, but you know, he'll invite us because we'll be so cool and popular by then that he'll want to hang out with us.
People won't want to wait the 20-minute delay it would take for our radio signal to get to Mars. So they'll just ship us to Mars so they can have us in real time.
Like the way that Death Clock does concerts at really bizarre remote locations where people have to sign pain waivers that say they won't sue the band if they die.
Right.
And we have an interview with Brendan Small, the creator of Death Clock, coming up in the second hour. That's going to be a good one.
We should ask Brendan Small how he would implement a socialist healthcare system.
Well,
death care.
Death care. I think we've already seen that because they accidentally mutilate their cook and have him on life support and get sick of paying $10,000 a day to keep his body parts alive, and they sew him back together wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think we've already seen death care.
Jean-Pierre.
Jean-Pierre.
Jean-Pierre, the chef. Of course.
Right. Nothing gives me more pleasure than to make the various assorted cheeses for my beloved Death Clock.
Yes. Although, you know, about the whole Obamacare thing, maybe this is all just evidence in the notch that the whole point of Obamacare was to fail miserably in the first place. So they can say, see, we tried to do it with the market type system. It just won't work. So we need to have a European or Cuban or Canadian style system.
You know, Ben was telling me yesterday about some guy in Ohio. This happened, I think, about 10 years ago. It was in the news a lot, and he lives in Ohio. He said that there was a guy who did the, you know, who was a drunk and told his wife he was going out for a pack of smokes and just disappeared. And after 5 years, she went to a judge and had the guy declared legally dead to collect his life insurance or Social Security benefits or veterans benefits or something. And about 3 years after that, he got sober and he came back to her. And she's like, I don't want anything to do with you. And, you know, he realized he was legally dead and like tried to get himself undead, and the judge wouldn't do it. Now, what would be the legal? Would he have to buy Obamacare? I don't think so, man.
No, I think he's scot-free. He's achieved freedom, you know. they say you can't be stateless, right? The UN won't let you not be a citizen of anywhere. So, but he found the loophole. That's what we should all do. We'll all go live in the woods until somebody declares us legally dead, and then we'll be free.
Yeah. So I guess my variation of that movie Network, where the guy on the TV tells everyone to go open their window and yell out, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. The Freedom Fiends say, just tell your loved ones right now you're going out for a pack of smokes, even if you don't smoke, and be gone for 8 years and come back and you'll be a stateless citizen.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not really suggesting that.
Well, think of that term, legally dead. He wasn't actually dead.
I know.
Isn't that a great example of the disconnect between, quote, legal, as explained by the government, and actual real life, as
well,
explained
by his
physical existence?
I'm a big fan of that term, legal fiction. Do you know that term?
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, there are things in law that are represented by something that the law describes as a legal fiction, like a corporation being a person and having the rights of a person.
Right.
Another one is in adoption. When you legally adopt somebody, the natural parent of the child becomes a legal stranger to the child, legally no longer related to the child and no rights related to the child. And then the adoptive parents are legally considered to be the actual parents of the adopted child, and a new birth certificate is issued to reflect this.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know the thing about the birth certificate. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. Huh. Same thing with nationalities of a corporation, flying flags of convenience on ships. Now, here's an interesting little bit of legalese, and we're not suggesting this as any kind of sovereign citizen magic word crap. We're just saying this is kind of interesting. We're going to talk when we come back about the loophole we found in the Constitution that allows you to have any gun you want. it's called the Second Amendment, but we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends after this.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gap intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
about the
Well, we can talk about that in the upcoming Freedom Fiends segment, which you are arriving at now. This is the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Yeah. Dean. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's going good. You know, the listeners think that we come on here 4 hours a week live on the radio and talk, and it's broken up by ads. But as you can see, we just never stop talking, and we happen to be broadcasting it 4 hours a week.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
We should just keep the recorder running for the podcast of what goes on between the ads. We listen to the ads because we love ads and we love commerce, and ads drive America, drive the world, drive the commerce. But
yes, what you hear is our verbal acumen through a soda straw. We're always talking. It's just for a 2 hour window every Saturday and Sunday, you get to see it.
And when I'm not talking to you because you're busy at work, I call Ben Stone the bad Quaker and talk to him because he's retired and he just sits around going, I want to talk about what's wrong with the government, Michael.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, he's lucky.
I'm thinking about taking an early retirement, going living on a beach somewhere, go down to Mexico, chill at Progreso, eat coconuts. Why not?
I don't like the word Progreso. It's got progressive in it.
It does.
I don't like progress. You know, they love to do these war with words things. Like
they do.
Name their government at the barrel of a gun to try to make you give up everything and be under their total control. They call that progressive. As if you don't like it, you sound like you don't like progress and you want to be living in the Stone Age, pushing berries up your nose for sustenance. Yes.
Well, like Absol says in a song, Terrorist Threats, he contrasts the term progress with the opposite of it, which is Congress.
Yeah. Yeah. So we wanted to talk about another contrarian thing. Contra, how do you pronounce this, Nima?
I would say contra pro ferentum.
Yeah? Contra pro ferentum.
Yes.
Which is Latin for against the offerer. It's also known as interpretation against the draftsman.
Yes.
It's the legal doctrine of contractual interpretation, providing that where a promise, agreement, or term is ambiguous, the preferred meaning should be the one that works against the interests of the party who provided the wording. Mm-hmm. So I would say that when people say, well, the Second Amendment's ambiguous, I mean, who knows what it meant? I'd say it works for us then. It works against the government who drafted it, and it works for us.
Yep. Under contra pro ferentum, that would be what you take away from that. So if you say, well, it's vague, it's ambiguous, we don't know if it meant for a militia or a personal right, well, then guess what? The people who wrote it lose. It's against the author because they made it vague. So either they made it vague on purpose, in which case you should rule against them, or they made it vague by neglect or a failure, in which case also they don't get what they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the only thing I would say, though, is I mean, you delving into this, you go right to the root of the problem, which is the people who signed and wrote the Constitution are no longer alive. And so why should it be binding on us in the first place?
Well, there's also a legal doctrine that nobody can be forced into a contract or be born into a contract, isn't
there?
Right. Yeah. So
I don't know what the Latin word for it is, but it makes sense to me, right?
Yeah, and the difference between us and sovereign citizens is we don't think we can actually argue this in court. We know that they'll just laugh at us and crush us like a bug. So basically, we're just going to make fun of them until they fall. And I really believe humor is a powerful weapon.
I think so, too.
And I'm very serious.
You can't argue it in court because the judge, the prosecutor, their whole lives and livelihoods depend on believing the fiction. So you're going to have immense inertia behind the fiction, the fantasy, the rhetoric in their head. So I think what you try to do is you try to tell the people who just believe it because that's what they've been told all their lives. You know, explain to them the discrepancy in the government narrative because they have a lot less inertia. And it'd be a lot easier to break it.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Excellent.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Well, and it works for more than just the Second Amendment too, man. I mean, obviously the whole Bill of Rights and even the rest of the Constitution, like the General Welfare Clause, you know, that welfare. Is so vague. It is so vague.
General
that
it should, welfare.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that should definitely be against the government, because I guess what you're going to say then is, well, the people who wrote the Constitution, they're dead. Well, maybe then it's the people trying to enforce it from the government's end. And you would say, well, they don't get to decide what's the general welfare then. And their idea that general welfare means taxing some to give to others.
There are two clauses in the U.S. Constitution that are referred to as the General Welfare Clause. And one is in the preamble and the other is in the Taxing and Spending Clause.
Nice.
That's a problem I have with constitutionalists who, you know, I can't understand why there's so many people who agree with us 99% but can't take the last 1%. And, you know,
and Michael Dean, yeah, tasing you with liberty since, yeah, 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah.
Hello, hello. Can we get a witness? Testing. Witnesses. 1, 2, 12. There you are.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. This is the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm broadcasting from a windowless bunker protected by the Constitution. Now, we did get cut off in that last bit, but yeah, it's okay because in the previous – the beginning of that bit, of that segment, we'd introduced it by talking about how we just talk all the time and sometimes the radio picks it up. Yeah, we bug our own houses, basically.
Yeah.
We're save the NSA should send us a check because we're saving them money.
Yes, in fact, we will bill you, NSA. We will,
yeah,
we'll consider it a cost plus contract because you didn't write the contract yet.
Well,
so,
you know, I talked yesterday about how my theory about the minarchist version of when the government collapses, what we can do with all the spy goons and the drug goons and all the people who kick in doors and hurt people who aren't violent. What we can do with them instead of just cutting them off or having Nuremberg trials where they're, you know, taken off to a dungeon somewhere. We could just keep them on the payroll for a year by selling off the national parks to private interests and pay their salary for a year and just have them do service, have them come around and pick dandelions in our yards and wash our cars and things like that. I don't know if I'd let them anywhere near the kids, but, you know.
Yeah, I think they'd be bad at it.
Yeah.
I like how Lou Rockwell says he'd like to see Bernanke at McDonald's. Because, so, you know, because he doesn't want to plan on having him do anything else. He just wants him to be at the mercy of the market, and he thinks that that would be his only appropriate job level.
So here's my question for constitutionalists. If you believe Obamacare is unconstitutional, then why do you believe the war on drugs, if you do believe it's constitutional, is constitutional? Because the only thing that can authorize either of those things is the General Welfare Clause, which basically says we can do whatever we want to you forever, period. I mean, that's my interpretation of it, but, you know. So if you don't, here's the problem. I think Nancy Pelosi, that skunk, that horrible person,
if
I'm using air quotes stank. For person, you know, if you think she's crazy when she says, well, you know, when someone asked her what part of the Constitution allows you to pass Obamacare, she said
she laughs.
The general welfare clause. The first time she laughed and said, like, Constitution, what's that, basically? But the second time she said the general, you know, I guess her advisors had said, well, you know, if that comes up again, just say the general welfare clause. So, yeah. So if you think that the war on drugs is constitutional, you should definitely not be complaining about Obamacare because it's for your own good. According to the Constitution.
Yes. Yes. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah. I also wanted to apply that what was that Latin phrase? Contra proferentum. Because one of the things people always bring up when the nullification discussion gets brought up is, oh, supremacy clause. The federal government is always right. You know, like they're the customer or something. And the actual supremacy clause says – here, I'm going to read the actual verbatim text. And you see if there's a loophole or a vagueness to it that proves my point. My point being that the federal law is only supreme if it's exactly constitutional.
Yeah.
And if you have a dispute and say it's unconstitutional, then you don't have to obey that. The federal law is not supreme at that point because you are rejecting it as unconstitutional. The text is, this Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. So it's that made in pursuance thereof that makes it seem like it's saying if it's not constitutional, you don't have to follow the law.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that is amplified in the 9th and 10th Amendment, basically saying states have the right to opt out of federal things that aren't constitutional. The problem is what's constitutional. Now,
right.
I love how Nima reads things. So, Nima, would you please read the taxing and spending clause, which is one of the things considered the general welfare clause. And then we'll have you read the other general welfare clause.
Yeah. So this is in the tax and spend portion of the Constitution. You know, it's funny because right-wing constitutionalists are always complaining about the tax and spend liberals. Hey, the Constitution invented the phrase tax and spend. All right, here you go. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States.
Yeah, and I read that as Congress shall have the power to lay around and collect taxes, duties, imports, and excises.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Congress gets to pretend that they're Hedonism Bot 3000.
Hedonism Bot. Oh, bring me more grapes and young boys.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But hold on. That last sentence kind of caught me off guard. I didn't know that. It's in the tax and spend thing that all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States.
Don't remind them.
Shh. Oh, but
don't
not taxes.
Remind them.
Okay.
Yeah, enough. But then they could just call a tax a duty or a duty. He said duty. Or
what's
impost.
An impost? I don't know.
Some other way to point a gun at your head and steal money. I mean, who knows? Who cares? Why bother, as Minor Threat sang in a song many years ago?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's my whole thing is all the Constitution really is a story that they tell you so that they can get you to do what they want and get you to be okay with their theft and their degradation of humanity via the police state and their regulation and their stomping on the face of the market constantly.
Yeah, and before anyone says, wait, this is sounded un-American, you have to know that Neem and I are unabashedly American. Neem is from Texas and likes football.
Texas.
And I've been all around the world and I like America. I like other parts of the world too, but we're not anti-American. We're pro-freedom, man. And at this point, America is standing for something that is not freedom for the most part. I mean, there's still this stuff written down on paper in helium in the National Archives. But if you actually read what's on these
it's
papers.
It's not written on paper. It's written on
it's
sheep.
On sheep. Yes, it's written on sheepskin, on vellum, which is sheepskin. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep. And we have buttons. Yep. The Freedom Fiends sell buttons, and we're having a 2-for-1. It's actually a 10-for-5 sale this month through Halloween or Fienoween. And you can go to our site, freedomfiends.com, and click on the link that says buttons at the top and get great deals on buttons that we sell almost at cost, and they make great gifts for Christmas, stocking stuffers, etc. We also need a C-sharp programmer who's better than the programmers working on the Obamacare.gov site or whatever it's called.
Hopefully.
And we also have a torrent sharing program. If you don't want to buy our stuff or have any donations, you can make us drone-proof very simply by running your computer when you're not using it and running BitTorrent to share us. So if we got droned and our website got droned, our stuff would still be out there. It'd be unstoppable. It is unstoppable, yeah. But we need it more unstoppable.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. And listen to our story. Stop listening to the government's story. I mean, all anything really is stories they tell themselves. And the story they tell themselves is influenced because we trade the stories amongst each other. That's what Twitter is. That's what Facebook is. That's what news is. That's what the Freedom Fiends is. That's what religion is. That's what government is. That's what law is. It's just
and
people
some of the stories are true.
Telling
we're not,
narratives.
We're not saying that all those stories are false. We're saying that they're all stories and they're added to by humans and people change them to their desire and change them to their whims and reinterpret them the way they reinterpret the Second Amendment to say it's so the government militia can have guns. No, it's so the people can have guns. But they want you to think that the United States is the only government that ever had to put in writing that the government gets to have guns. Speaking of which, I want to point out that Adam Kokesh, who's in jail right now and facing prison for peacefully holding a shotgun in D.C. and making a 10-second video of it, he is a political prisoner. And I want to revamp that term, political prisoner.
He's a prisoner of war.
A prisoner of war. That's the term I'm looking for. Sorry. Because in the 60s, a lot of the radicals used that term, but they used it wrong. They used it for people who were violent, who like blew stuff up and ended up in prison. And that's not a prisoner of war. That's a prisoner.
Those are just regular prisoners.
Those are prisoners. They blew stuff up. They should be in jail. But Adam Kokesh didn't do anything violent. He stood there and made a little feisty speech with a shotgun in his hand. And that's not violent and that shouldn't be a crime. And he is a prisoner of the war on guns and the war on the info war, as you said. The Alex Jones defined info war.
Yeah, exactly. Is Samuel L. Jackson in jail for his feisty speech holding the pistol to the guy's head at the beginning of Pulp Fiction?
No.
No, and he did that in California. That gun's probably illegal in California.
Oh, but not if you have – if you're doing it in Hollywood because they're all permitted and allowed to. There's actually in the California gun code – there's exceptions for Hollywood, like literally like in an authorized, you know, Hollywood film production, film musical group. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do they lay out a legal definition of how you have to be a Hollywood person? Like you have to have this amount of money made from your movies?
No, they don't, which is kind of interesting because that's probably a loophole because that was written when everyone wasn't a filmmaker, when you couldn't run around with a cell phone camera and upload to YouTube and be a filmmaker. So I wonder if that's a loophole that open carry people could use is if they're always filming.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, all they would have to do is wear one of those GoPro helmet cams all the time.
We are not giving legal advice. We just like to make fun of loopholes because
we are just telling stories. You decide what to do when you internalize them.
Yeah, we're just telling stories like Obama saying everyone will have health care and it'll be free and it'll work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's up to people, grown adult people, to realize when somebody who's been telling you a story and you realize those stories are always false, they're never true, then you should at some point realize you should stop listening to those stories or listen to them, but realize that they're false, like Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy.
Here's some stories. I found a list of names that have been used for taxes over the decades and centuries. Toll, tribute, tallage, gable, impost, duty, custom, excise, subsidy, aid, supply.
I wonder if they're going to come up with a new one. I bet they will.
Yeah, it's called healthcare. Now they just call it healthcare. That's the new name for a duty, excise, tollage, tallage, tribute. I like tribute because that's like – that has ideas of a god, of a Roman emperor.
Yeah, yeah. Tribute is on its face the one that is most true, but that's why they don't use it anymore. taxes, I think, is becoming dirty. I think fee – is fee in the list? F-E-E?
Well, you know, in that book, Government by Emergency by Gary North, he says and he's being tongue-in-cheek here, but he says that the government who taxes most invisibly taxes best.
And of course.
I think that was the way for a while. Like, most people have no idea how much tax they pay. Like, you know, if you pay like 33%, 34% to 40% income tax, you don't, that's not your only tax. All your taxes together, you're paying like 80% of your income to the government. And we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
Fiends.
To the echo.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to stay tuned because we've got Brendan Small coming up in hour two. So hold on.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to play this whole song, Go Into the Water, because some of our fans will dig the interview with him, but might really not dig the music. But I'm going to give you a taste.
Really?
You just want to play a 5-minute song here, huh?
No, play it. I'm just saying, the thing about Death Clock, why I like Death Clock so much is I'm not a huge metal fan at all. Like, there's a lot of metal bands that people really like and consider the paragon of metal, and I won't even name them. But I listen to them, and I'm just like, that's not my thing, man. It doesn't get me going. But Death Clock, for some reason, does, and I don't know why.
Well,
I think it's
funny.
Universally good, you know?
Yeah. It's funny, but it's also that Spinal Tap thing of being better than the thing they're making fun of. They're better than a lot of bands of that style. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff like that in media. Like, here's a really good example that was referenced in Death Clock. Let's see. What's the guy who made the movie Grizzly Man?
Who you're talking about.
The director. The German director. Yeah, we talked about him extensively. He actually does voices on the latest season of Death Clock. He reads this kind of dark poem at the beginning of each one. Werner Herzog. Now, he made a movie that we talked about at length about it was in the 70s, and it was about Fitzcarraldo. It was about taking a ship by hand over the Andes, over the mountains.
Carrying a ship over the mountains, yeah.
It's an okay movie, but there's a documentary about the movie, about the making of the movie that Herzog is in, which is far more entertaining. And there's a movie called American Movie, which is a documentary about a filmmaker who's making a horror film, a really low budget horror film called Coven, which it's spelled Coven, but he's like, no, it's Coven. And it's a documentary about him trying to get this film made. And the documentary is infinitely better than that silly movie. Yeah, there's a lot out there where the thing making fun of it is better than the thing. I think part of it is because when you're making fun of the thing, you don't have as much pressure. You don't take it as seriously. You know, you don't have this feeling of like, it has to be metal.
So it's more natural, less more honest, less contrived kind of a thing. Yeah. Because there's honesty in comedy. That's what makes it funny.
Yeah, and they say that all comedy is laughing at death. That's a theory I've heard. I think Freud actually said something along those lines, that all comedy and all humor basically comes down to laughing at the fact that we will all die one day. And
death clock thing to say. You should ask Brendan Small about that. Is that why you're into comedy and death at the same time?
That's a good one. Yeah, I will ask him that. So let's go ahead and play. Let's play out the rest of this segment with the death clock song, one of the only radio friendly death clock songs, Into the Water, which is about becoming one with the fish. And here we go on the Freedom Fiends.
I'm just going to read the first couple graphs here of Glenn Greenwald. It's hardly news that the Obama administration is intensely and in many respects unprecedentedly hostile towards the news gathering process. Even the most Obama-friendly journalists have warned of what they call, quote, Obama's war on whistleblowers. James Goodall, the former general counsel of the New York Times during its epic fights with the Nixon administration, recently observed that, quote, President Obama wants to criminalize the reporting of national security information, end quote, and added, quote, President Obama will surely pass President Richard Nixon as the worst president ever on issues of national security and press freedom. That's the general counsel of the New York Times saying that about Barack Obama. That's an aside. I'm going to get back to the Greenwald. Still, a new report released by the highly respected Committee to Protect Journalists, its first ever on press freedoms in the U.S., powerfully underscores just how extreme is the threat to press freedom posed by this administration. It was written by former Washington Post executive editor Leonard Downey Jr. The report offers a comprehensive survey of the multiple ways that the Obama presidency has ushered in a paralyzing climate of fear for journalists and sources alike, one that severely threatens the news gathering process. The first sentence, quote, "In the Obama administration's Washington, government officials are increasingly afraid to talk to the press. Among the most shameful aspects of the Obama record," now this is actually from the report here, quote, "six government employees plus two contractors, including Edward Snowden, have been subject to felony criminal prosecution since 2009 under the 1917 Espionage Act, accused of leaking classified information to the press, compared with a total of three such prosecutions in all previous administrations." Wow. "Still, more criminal investigations into leaks are underway. Reporters' phone logs and emails were secretly subpoenaed and seized by the Justice Department in two of the investigations, and a Fox News reporter was accused in an affidavit for one of those subpoenas of being an aider, abettor, and or conspirator of an indicted leak defendant, exposing him to possible prosecution for doing his job as a journalist. In another leak case, a New York Times reporter has been ordered to testify against a defendant or go to jail." Wow. So yeah, I guess in my conversation with Alex Fidel about this new, quote, shield law, this federal shield law, which basically states that we will protect journalists from having to divulge their sources in court, I asked Alex, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to force you to talk? I mean, they can't force words out of your diaphragm, you know, or they can't force you to push those verbalizations out. But apparently they can threaten to throw you in jail if you don't talk. Torture, you know. There's a quote that says, if you don't get rid of your empire, be prepared to live under it at home. And so you see this overseas where people are tortured. The torturer is knowing full well that they're not going to get quality information.
Nima,
out
are
of
you
these.
Doing a filibuster? You're doing a filibuster, aren't you?
Sure. Well, do you not want me to filibuster?
No, I do, because otherwise alarms go off because we're that important. But I just sent a text to GCN people with Brandon Small's info, and I just got off the phone with him, and they're going to Skype him, I think. Are you there, Tom?
Oh, okay.
Are you there, Tom? Okay. Can you hear us, Tom? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And
well, should we just plan on bringing Brandon on after in the next segment?
No, because we got a lot of time here, man. We got between 12 and 19 here, so we got 7 minutes. If we got him on now, what were you talking about? What was your filibuster on the floor?
Oh, were you not listening to my filibuster?
No, I was talking to Brandon Small on the phone, man.
I was reading Glenwald quoting
Glenwald. You're calling Glenn Greenwald Glenwald now.
Glenwald, yeah, that's his new name.
Did you make? Is that accidental or you? That's really the thing.
I'll own it. Sure,
I like Glenwald.
I was reading his quote of the Committee to Protect Journalists.
I
yeah,
have
man.
Small on the line.
All right, we got Brandon Small on the line. Can you hear us, Brandon?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Excellent, excellent. So we're doing an interview here today with Brandon Small, who is the creator of Death Clock. Brandon Small is the Frank Frazetta meets Mel Brooks of the electric guitar. He's the creator of Metalocalypse and that. What's that?
I already like tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether or not that's true, I'm going to start using that.
Hey, GCN Studio Tom there, can you turn him up a little bit, please, in our feed? Because I want to get the full Thunder Horse
there
experience. Yeah. He's the creator of Death Clock, the greatest rock musical group of all time and the seventh largest economy in the world. And he has a guitar named after him, the Death Clock Thunder Horse Explorer. How you doing there, Brendan?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. Yes, there's a Thunder Horse. We have two different versions of the Thunder Horse out these days. I've got the Epiphone and the Gibson one.
Yeah, I figure if we get the product placement out of the way, then we can ask you anything. Because that's
yeah, that's all I've got to sell. Oh no, I've got something else to sell.
Don't you have a show? Aren't you coming out with the movie Blood Ocean?
I've got a rock opera special that I have to
Blood
talk
Ocean.
About.
Blood Ocean, right?
But yeah, yeah.
Is it Blood Ocean?
It is kind of. It's kind of a bigger budgeted thing that we're used to. So it is our kind of our own Blood Ocean in a way. But no, it's called the full title is Metalocalypse, the Doomstar Requiem, a clock opera.
So is that replacing? There's no more episodes
Well, this thing right now is, you know, a lot of people are asking that. You know, it's funny. A lot of people are making up their mind about where the show is going and if this is the final one or not the final one. And all I can say, and what's going to happen beyond this, but all I can say is I think you're going to find everything out when you watch the special.
Ah, excellent.
I mean,
well, I'm watching it right now because I've got my spies at the NSA and we're watching, you know, a rough edit of it right now.
Really?
Speaking.
Yeah, well, then it's going to be a rough one because we're not finished. That's what we're doing all weekend is we have everybody working. We're mixing the whole full-blown rock opera right now. I go in and I'm going to sit with a mixer all day, Ulrich Wilde. Then I go in and go back to Titmouse, which is where we do all the animation. And we sit there and we look at animation and we composite and we are doing some final edits. But it's we've got about a week before we got to turn it in.
That's a great job. Do you go to high school reunions and like get to laugh at people that made fun of you and beat you up in high school?
I have never been to a high school reunion, but I've got one coming up. And I think I hang out with my one friend still from high school, so I don't know that I need to go, you know.
So, you know, we're big fans of you going all the way back to home movies, and we really liked Dwayne's band Scab. I love Death Clock, but I think I like Scab a little bit better because it's a little glammier and more like Queen or something. But
You know what? There's a lot of that still in Death Clock. And you know what? You're going to hear a lot of that in this rock opera, too. If you liked, because the whole thing about the rock opera is that there's a lot of metal, but you're going to hear on this thing that there's a 50-piece orchestra that's playing with us.
That's the death of every metal band when they do the orchestral piece, from Spinal Tap to Metallica.
Except when Death Clock does it.
Death
Clock already did that.
This is for score.
Death Clock already did that. Didn't you have the fat kid?
The idea behind this is that it makes the music better on because I use lots of synthesizer patches and all that stuff, so I figured this is going to be a big grandiose thing. We may as well actually get real strings and horns and harps and woodwinds and all that stuff to play, and it makes the thing sound a million times better.
Neat. Freud said that all humor is laughing at the fear of death. How does that play into Death Clock and having an orchestra with Death Clock?
I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. Hey, you're gonna die.
That's not
the
funny.
Best answer ever.
That's not
yeah,
funny.
Hey, you're gonna
That's
die.
That's funny to you?
No, it's very funny.
I laughed.
Find the humor in that.
It's very funny. Hey, man, my wife and I watched the Thunder Horse video and then had a sweet, passionate moment this morning. So that says,
no.
Hey, when did Spinal Tap play with an orchestra?
They talked about it when they were breaking up on the roof. They were talking about Saucy Jack. Yeah.
They talked about Saucy Jack, a musical about Jack the Ripper.
Hey, have you seen that movie? You don't have kids yet, do you?
No.
There's a great movie, great documentary called The Other F Word. It's punk rockers who are fathers now talking about being fathers. And there's a good line from Mark Mothersbaugh, Devo, in there where he says that no matter what kind of music you are, even if it's polka music, when you're on tour, every moment is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, it's things go wrong constantly, and you're just out of control. And that's what everyone's career is. It doesn't matter what you're doing, but it's very, very apparent in music when shit's going wrong. I don't know. Did you see the Metallica movie yet?
No.
There's a movie? Is it a fictional movie or is it like a documentary?
This is like it's a live concert movie, but it's a very different thing. And I'm not a big fan of live concert movies, but I saw this thing and I thought it was a...
We're going to go to the free market here for a few minutes and then come back with more from Brendan Small of Death Clock. We'll be right back and take it to the top of the hour with Brendan Small of Death Clock on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Segment a while back, Michael, about the squarest thing a musician can do is endorse a politician.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen that happen through Twitter, and I always just try to look the other way because it never ends up great, you know. And, I always had a joke that I'd be assassinated for my political beliefs in my cartoons. And it's a funny joke because no one cares about a cartoon maker's political beliefs.
Yeah.
And I'm going to honor that.
We're recording right now. We're off the air right now, but we're recording just the chit-chat for the podcast for later.
And you should know I've made sure not said five bad words so far.
The five bad words?
Just five, any bad words.
I have a list of like 10 I can't say up on my cork board here.
They keep adding new words.
They do.
Well, they don't have an actual list, so.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get heard today by people who'd never hear you otherwise, because we're like we're on between like the Cowboy Church and the Rush Limbaugh show on some stations.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
We're the weird, quirky, like legalized drugs and guns show that's somehow on 10 of those stations. Yeah.
10 seconds.
All right.
1440.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Fidati here in Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the Cowboy State. How's it going, Michael?
It's good. And we have Brendan Small, creator of Death Clock, the world's greatest live rock musical group in the world. That's what my 91-year-old dad says. He says that, did you know, Nima, that Michael used to be in a rock musical group? And I'm going to do a kind of long intro here because I want the cuss dump to build, because, you know, these metalheads, they got a mouth on them. So we got to build the cuss dump. I wanted to talk about, I got a long question here. And by the time I'm done asking it, the cuss dump will be built. And Brendan can answer it. So in 70s and 80s movies that were anti-utopian, like Rollerball and Soylent Green and Blade Runner, they always take place in the not-too-distant future, i.e. now. The villain is often a giant untouchable corporation with its own army. It seems like Death Clock is kind of a giant untouchable corporation with its own army, but they're not really the villains. They're the heroes. Do you like that kind of 70s movie, Brendan? And did that influence Death Clock?
Absolutely. I think there's a weird thing that happened. This all came from the show Metalocalypse, this whole show about this metal band, Death Clock. It all came from, just, you know, exaggerating what's going on in music. The fact that I watched a documentary about The People versus John Lennon. Did you ever see that? Where, where he had actually such a big following that he was his own kind of political party in some way, and he was anti-war and all that stuff. So the CIA and the FBI were actually tapping his phone calls, and and or at least they believed that. And I thought, well, that's interesting that someone could be, you know, such a creative cultural force that governments are looking over their shoulder to see who they are influencing and all that stuff. And I thought, wouldn't that be interesting if that were a death metal band? And wouldn't that be funny? And so if you were to have this, wouldn't you have some kind of an enemy who was also following and watching you as well? And that's where part of the show started being fleshed out.
Cool. Yeah. Everybody dies, or a lot of people are injured at every Death Clock show, and people have to sign pain waivers. I actually have stitches in my head from the singer in Guar. I have 3 stitches where he hit me in the head with a bass guitar when he was in a band called Death Piggy. Did you ever hear Death Piggy?
I know about the band, and that's actionable.
No. We worked out a deal on the spot. I got rushed off to the hospital, and we agreed and shook hands. I wouldn't sue, and I get unlimited for life free entry to any Guar show and any band he's in. I get in free and get backstage free.
Oh, sounds like you got a raw deal there.
I think I did. You ever heard a band called Bomb from San Francisco?
I don't know. Maybe. I need more information.
No, you don't. So did the monkeys?
I think that's a polite no.
Yeah. Did the monkeys and the Partridge Family influence Death Clock?
You know, what's funny is there's a great documentary on the monkeys, and what happened was, and this is something I thought about with Metalocalypse too, because there is no real band. I mean, I play the music and I hire a great
Atomic
drummer.
Clock.
Gene Hoagland, who's amazing. He's just, you know, a pleasure to work with. And then we'll tour, but we're just kind of playing the music. And then we have a gigantic, movie theater size screen that we're playing the picture on. But, I remember hearing the Monkees, you know, when they first came out, they were huge and they were giving the Beatles a run for their money. And a lot of people forget that. And then at some point, all the guys like, Michael Nesmith and those guys said, hey, what's going on here? We want more money. They're using our images and all that stuff. And the guys who wrote all the music and produced everything said, you know what, you guys are getting out of hand, and we're going to make fake cartoon band and use all of our music. So that's when they started doing the stuff with the Archies. Remember that?
Yeah. But those groups all live together, like Death Clock.
They did,
that's
yes.
That's what I'm wondering about the influence, the idea of, hey, we're all roommates. We're billionaires, but we're all roommates.
That's kind of a made-up thing, but it's true, I think, in the young years of musicianship. People tend to live in the same place because it's cheap.
Are you a cat guy? Because when Toki has his cat funeral, it actually like makes me weep. It's so beautiful, and I love cats.
I grew up with cats, but I have a dog. I have a crazy, goofy dog, and I am one of those people, and I don't want you to infer too much, but I like cats and dogs.
I like both kinds of music, country and western, death, black and metal. Yeah.
But, so would you say music is your first passion before comedy? Was comedy just something that you did instead of music, and it gave you a platform to do music instead now?
Well, what happened was I went to music school first at Berklee College of Music, and I thought I was going to get into film scoring, the one in Boston, Berklee College of Music. You know, the one where John Scofield went and John Mayer, all the Johns, all the famous Johns.
Okay. We'll continue on that when we take this trip to the market.
Yeah. The free market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Hey, how's it going, Brandon? whose voice do you do in the show, in Death Clock?
I do Nathan and Pickles and Squiscar and the manager and a character named Edgar John Frew and Dick Nubler, and there's a whole bunch of different.
Okay.
I do like probably 9 or 10, and then in the rock opera I do even more.
Somebody else does Murderface then?
Yeah, but I'm doing him for the rock opera and all that stuff. And switching off, because they have to be sung. Like, the whole thing's it's like a crazy 1970s rock opera.
That's so awesome.
The whole idea is to have everybody sing and just to make it all work in this avenue, and it's ridiculous. And there's metal moments, and there's very much not metal moments, and there's symphonic moments that are like big showpiece, like dance numbers and stuff like that. And then it's contradicted by very heavy metal occasionally.
That's awesome. Is this going to be in theaters or? Where can we see this?
Adult Swim.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's excellent. and then more importantly, like, what I'm selling is the record of that. So that comes out the day after. And it's really a fun ride.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to taking that ride.
And also, it's got a 2-minute long guitar solo right in the middle of the whole thing that I don't think has ever happened on TV before.
Nice. And you do the guitar solos too. Like, when we hear Squiscar and his amazingness, that's your amazingness, not Squiscar's.
Oh.
It's me trying to match up to whatever I believe Squiscar can do. put myself in a really weird spot.
Hey, would you be willing to do an ID for us in the voice of one of the people?
Sure.
You sound like, not this again. Hey, Tom, can you turn down the stream all the way?
I wonder why I picked a profession where it's voices, and then every time someone asks me to do a voice, I'm exhausted immediately by it. It happened immediately when I started getting into animation.
Okay, the show's called The Freedom Fiends, FEENS. I guess I'd love to have one as Nathan and one as Squiscar. Like, you're listening to the other, you're listening to the Freedom Fiends radio show, talk radio show. And then we say worms, which is our way of saying word.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. I'm recording. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Excellent. Excellent. Can you do one of Squiscar?
Sure. Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Excellent, excellent.
That was great.
That was great.
It was like they were in my room, Squiscar and Nathan Explosion.
Whenever I try to do Nathan Explosion, Nima says that I'm putting
too much energy.
I put too much effort into it. I sound too angry, and he just kind of sounds like he'd rather be taking a poop or something.
You know, it's there's that was part of figuring out the voices. How do you make these guys bored and conversational and have these extremely ridiculous voices? Like, you know, how I am right now, bored and conversational. But that was the whole trick to doing the improv, is that if you can find a way to have them think in their character, then you've got a character, you know. And then when they're singing, it's a completely different thing.
Does Squiscar's name come from the word Swiss guard?
There is a Swiss guard. There is a real name.
5 seconds.
5 seconds. Yeah. We're back.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, it could come from a clustered version.
Yeah. All right, it's Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vadati. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end, and we're talking to Brendan Small, who just recorded some some great Freedom Fiends show IDs in the voices of Nathan Explosion and Squiscard Squigolf. And it really brought it to life for me, because when this whole time we've been talking to him, I keep picturing the 2-foot-tall Brendan Small from Home Movies, you know, the little kid with the completely blue body and the orange swath of hair.
And, squiggle vision.
Squiggle vision, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were talking during the break about with Brendan about the voices and voicing someone who is interesting but sounds bored at the same time. I was wondering if that's influenced at all by Ozzy Osbourne, because Ozzy Osbourne is one of the most precise singers ever, but when he's talking, he's incomprehensible.
That's an amazing thing, and I still don't understand that either, because when he does speak, it sounds like his mouth is closed and then he belts out this thing and you can understand every single word. It makes no sense. There are tons of people like that. I always thought it was strange how people that had thick accents would all of a sudden have a very clean voice that would almost sound like an American accent when they would sing a song.
Well, our board up. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, what do I know about this stuff?
Our board op, Tom, was telling us before the show about a study he heard about where elderly people with Alzheimer's, sometimes if they are exposed to music that they loved when they were young, they'll become coherent and talkative for a while. Maybe that's what happens with Ozzy.
You know what? I think that was part of the King's Speech. Remember that movie where he started singing what he had to say, and then the stuttering and all that other stuff and all the little loose words go away and you just sing a very – I don't know. Maybe that's a weird psychological thing. Who knows?
So I liked what you were saying before. I want to get this on record of your attitude about famous people who don't know anything about politics talking about politics, because what there is a DVD extra where the band is being interviewed and they're like, politics. Stupid. And Nathan Explosion reluctantly becomes governor of Florida, and he prints a bunch of money and tanks the state even further. What do you think of people who are famous and don't know a lot about politics needing to have an opinion on politics?
Here's the thing that I think is funny about Death Clock not talking about politics. I don't think they're trying to hold at bay all their big political their rants or anything. I think they're totally uneducated on what's going on. And it has nothing to do with them getting breakfast or their limo or wherever they're going. So I think they hear that there may or may not be an election coming up. I don't think they know which party is in power right now. they probably have no idea about the government shutdown, and that's how I play them.
So you kind of are you kind of like that too? I mean, you just live in a windowless music bunker. Do you, are you aware of what's going on in the world, and do you care?
I'm very much aware of what's going on, and but I also live in a windowless bunker when I'm in production, which is just like I have to really kind of like say goodbye to my friends for a couple of months when I have to go write like, you know, 45 minutes of a rock opera and come back with something finished. But I do there is a windowless room that I do go into, unfortunately. So, but I have access to the internet there.
So I'm not that's my window to the world too, in my windowless bunker. So I'm not trying to like peg you on any political statement, but I'm curious about guns, because the guns are very accurate in Death Clock, more than in most animation. Although I would suggest that the bands keep their finger off the trigger until they're ready to shoot. That's my only complaint. But are you a gun guy?
I'm not much of a gun guy. I'm a guitar guy. I'll talk all day and night about guitars, but I don't know a thing about guns. And we have people who understand them when they're drawing them. And we'll usually try to go for some authenticity visually, and that's about as far as we go. We're not saying like, hey, I've got a favorite gun. We've got to showcase it tonight for all these 18 to 35-year-olds in our demographic. We know that people do get excited about guns, and metal bands do, but I'm, you know, listen, I'm a comedian who got good at guitar, and that's where I'm coming from.
Well, yeah, you do have a reference to the guy who blew his brains out with a gun and made a record cover of it. I can't do it, but you say that would make a great record cover.
Oh yeah, that was that's from episode one, and that was a reference.
So you think of yourself as a comedian who got good at a guitar, not a guitar player who got good at comedy?
Well, you know, they were both hand in hand, because like I think I was saying earlier that I went to music school, and when I got out, I just had no idea what I was going to do with this whole musical education and all these guitar chops. So I immediately started doing stand-up in Boston, and I realized if you work at this hard enough, you're going to get good at it. And if you've got a sense of humor and all that stuff, and you keep showing up at these clubs, you're going to figure it out. And that's how I got into TV, and that's how I got into home movies, was doing stand-up. Chinese comedy, this Chinese restaurant on the third floor. And then I was on a night, and I was just like maybe 14 years ago, I was on a show with Louis C.K. in front of like maybe 40 people. And the producers of that would end up being the producers of home movies were there. And and I was funny on that night.
Yeah, so you got discovered playing a show that you otherwise would not have written home about.
Well, I would have written home about it because there was this young guy who was insanely hilarious named Louis C.K. on the show.
He's great.
You got a show out of that night, and Louis didn't get a show out of that night? did Louis get discovered that same night?
No, he. You know what happened was we ended up. He was nice. He was a really nice guy, and I was just a kid, like getting started. And he would give me some good advice on sketches I was writing and stuff like that. And then later on, we're like, "Hey, we're doing to have him be on the show." So he ended up playing my character's father on home movies. Very few remember that now that he's like this gigantic, huge star. But he was on a few episodes. He was hilarious.
Did your experiences this is probably a yes, but did your experiences doing stand up influence the episode where Death Clock becomes stand up comedy people and they're not loved?
It's really funny. I think comedy is one of the most brutal art forms in the world. You know, bombed and you haven't died until you've died doing comedy. You know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you want to talk about death metaphors, like the music is easy. You show up and play your guitar, and comedy is you dancing it while you're alive.
Yeah, if you're loud, you can just go into the next song and not hear the lack of applause. You can't do that with comedy. So how do you feel about the U.S. government storming Gibson and seizing guitars made from imported wood?
Isn't that crazy? I want to get to the bottom of that story because I don't know enough about it. All I know is that there was an alleged – I guess maybe now it is an alleged, but I don't know enough about – I guess there are taxes on woods for like fretboards and stuff like that. And the FBI stormed into Gibson and took all the wood away. And I think – do you know what happened?
Yeah,
I don't think it was taxes. I think it was forbidden wood. Yeah, it was forbidden by some kind of international law, not even a U.S. law.
Basically, lawmakers don't feel like they're doing their job unless they pass tons of laws, and that's how they're measured. And it caught up with bureaucrats with guns going into Gibson and saying, this wood, it is forbidden. And it's also affected people like with 100-year-old acoustic guitars traveling with them. They've been impounded by various bureaucrats with guns at various checkpoints because they're made of forbidden wood.
Brendan's safe, though, because he doesn't use Grandpa's guitars.
No, I don't. But you know what's funny is that I knew that there was a time for Gibson when their fretboard wood was not as readily available because it was in storage in the FBI's locker. And so we started building a guitar, and I thought, you know what, if I can't get a guitar with a rosewood fretboard, what would I do? What would be a cool guitar? So we started actually putting with a composite fretboard that's this really interesting thing, and that's a new guitar that we're putting out. I think we're announcing it this fall, called the Snow Falcon, which is derivative of Toki's guitar. It's pretty awesome. And check out the neck on it because it's a strange new composite material that's all white, and it's an all-white flying V. It's pretty awesome.
Nice. You know that because of us listening to you and saying it on the radio, the terms grandpa's guns has become a term for old guns with wood furniture.
What really is that, like muskets and
No, like up to World War II, anything that doesn't look scary and black and polymer and modern but still fires from a distance, like World War II,
like
Mosin Nagants. Yeah, wooden guns from World War II. We call them grandpa's guns.
Gotcha. Yeah. Uncool, right? Or is that?
No, it's cool. It's very cool. It's very cool. Because they're not that much. They're not nearly as different from modern military guns as acoustic guitars are from electric flying Vs through pod system made in Agoura Hills, California. I used to live there. That's how I know where it's from.
Oh, yeah. Until you try to record with an acoustic, and that is a different world where every mistake is completely right in front of your face. Where in electric guitar, you've learned how to control the crazy monster with all the distortion and everything. With acoustic, it's such a scary, lonely place to be because if you're making mistakes, there's just a naked thing. That's why I think a lot of metal guys avoid them because it's like playing a different instrument entirely.
Okay, let's segue into the gear talk. I once interviewed East Bay Ray from Dead Kennedys, and he didn't want to talk about gear, and he called Guitar Player magazine guitar pornography, but I think you probably like to talk about gear. All the microphones that we see in the show are condenser mics. Do you ever use dynamic mics or ribbon mics?
I have a ribbon mic. I have a Royer 121, which is a ribbon mic, and I have that. But you know what? I usually just use I have a condenser mic for vocals, and then I have a couple different mics for my guitar cabinet, and that's what my home studio is. I have a really loud amp that I turn up in an isolation room, and I want to just have the guitar sounding authentic and coming from real amps and all that stuff. So I don't use any plugins or anything. And but the best thing is still the SM57 on the guitars.
You should check out an Electro Voice RE20 or an RE320, which are Neem and I are using them right now. They're generally only used for talk radio, but they're amazing on guitars and bass drum especially. They're not used for recording vocals a lot, but they were actually used on the vocals on Combat Rock by the Clash. They got a really unique sound.
By the way, if there were any female listeners up to this point, they're gone now.
Yeah.
Does your home studio look like Death Clock's home studio? Like instead of soundproofing, you have amps all around the studio?
Well, you know what? I am a guy who does. I'm one of those guitar nerds who does like to talk about gear. So I get excited about amplifiers and pedals and all that stuff. So I am surrounded by it.
Cool. We'll have the last segment coming up here after this break, going to the free market on the Freedom Fiends. We'll have more from Brendan Small of Death Clock.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Neema V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends! Yeah, welcome back. Thank you so much for sticking with us, Fiends. This is the bottom of hour two, and that means it's our last segment, but we're going to try to make it a good one. We've got Brendan Small here with me, Nima Vedati, and also Michael Dean. And
I've rendered Brendan Small speechless. I wasn't recording that.
I thought I was.
I hate that I wasn't. We could probably reproduce it. I told Brendan that I thought a good name for a Death Clock song would be Crocodile Chemtrail, and he's like, what's Crocodile? And we turned him on to the majesty of the horror of the Russian bathtub heroin drug that makes your skin rot off called Crocodile. And that is what happens when drugs are illegal, and that is the war on drugs, and that's the government's fault. And Brendan Small is right now looking at pictures of the effects of Crocodile. What do you think of that there, Brendan?
I gotta try this stuff.
Is that I told him that it was so brutal it made Death Clocks look like the Monkees. Do you think Crocodile is brutal?
It looks, you know what, I don't know if you, maybe you guys haven't picked up on this, that I am not the band Death Clock. I'm a comedian, the smart aleck.
No, man, we're in
and,
denial. You are
I
Death
think
Clock.
Of these things, but this is a pretty amazingly brutal thing. I'm doing a Google image search on Crocodile, and it's people's fingers are falling off. This must be I can only imagine, like I said, it's got to be a pretty good drug if those are the side effects and they're still doing it.
You should have Roxo the Clown get addicted to Crocodile.
I'm sure that they're done writing.
It seems like, but
the
that's.
Plots, but.
I'm going to have to do a lot more research on this. I appreciate you opening my eyes to Crocodile. It is, that is a very, probably one of the most disgusting things I've seen online. And I've seen some disgusting things online. That's what it's for.
I'm pretty happy. Any questions I have for the last 4 minutes would probably just pale in comparison to just, I think we should just have Brendan Small search Google Images and just react to Crocodile and the Majesty.
I'm looking at these pictures. It really looks like they're zombieified. Like their skin is falling off and their fingers are breaking apart. This is Sunday morning. This is what you've done to me on Sunday morning.
It's our church.
Yeah. Oh man, that is crazy.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know what else that I have to say about that.
Well, we would go political with it, and we would say that this is the fault of the war on drugs, and if heroin were legally available in pure form at Walmart, hopefully not in the same aisle as the powdered sugar to avoid confusion, you wouldn't have things like Crokodil. But let's just listen to more reactions from Brendan Small of Crokodil. What are you looking at there, Brendan Small?
I've turned away from it. I see a woman on her back with forearm bones exposed, and now I'm turning back away from it.
So the Freedom Fiends made Brendan Small turn his head away from something. I like that.
Yeah, it's an ugly, ugly thing.
Yeah. Well, but, like he said, he's the Brendan Small from Home Movies. He's not Nathan Explosion or Squisgard.
Showing that to Brendan Small from Home Movies would probably be illegal and probably should be.
Yeah, that's. It's funny, we have a sequence in the new rock opera that is all about ingesting as many drugs as you possibly can. But the reason is the same reason that most people do, is to kind of take your mind away from things. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think that's the thing that people mostly do. If you watch all those shows where people are doing drugs, like Intervention and all that stuff, they always go back and something bad happened to each one of those people that they're using the mm-hmm. drugs to kind of get away from. And I can't imagine what Crokodil must have happened for a person to have done this.
Is it all written and animated? Is it too late to slip some Crokodil into that sequence?
It is a bit too late. I have to find with Crokodil.
Yeah. Yeah, so we in the show, when the band catches somebody downloading their music illegally, they send their private army to flense them and kill them. How do you feel about people downloading your music and videos?
It's funny because it is a thing that you just can't control. You're just out of control. All you can hope is that there's a person like you out there who may pay money for a thing because it has the monetary value, but people are just going to steal it, and you know, and that's been going on for years. I mean, I remember in high school, a person would have a tape, and you'd keep a tape of somebody's thing. And it was a little bit
bad. Yep, we're losing you there, and it's the end of the Freedom Fiends. And on the band Garage, on the album Garage, Back to the Garage, Metallica bragged about making tapes of people's music. So yeah, it can't be controlled. It's out of the box. And thank you, Brendan Small, for coming on the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.
All right.
A little over a year ago, Tom? I began to do a lot of research.
Tom, is Brendan still there?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Go for it. There you go. Talk.
Hey, we want to thank you for coming on, man. It was really cool.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was awesome.
All right, man.
I'll email you a link to it in a little while, and if you want to send me back a business address, we'll send you a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons.
Awesome. Cool, guys.
Cool. Thanks, man. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
We made Brendan Small turn his head.
That's awesome. Yeah,
it is. That's brutal. All right, so let's reboot, Nima, because we got an interview coming up here with Hank 3 in a couple minutes.
Okay. You were recording when Brendan did the Squisgar ID, right?